Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, we as we know, Primeval World has closed in Animal Kingdom, and it took them all of like 24 hours to remove the ride vehicles, so they really wanted it to be closed and gone quickly. But now the question for me is, what are they going to do with that area? Because
before, I know where you want to go with this, but before we get to what are they going to do with the area, can we start with what good does removing a bunch of ride vehicles do? I mean, like, that the attraction is still there, right?
Right.
And even assuming they disassemble that attraction, we're in the middle of a time where everything is being rethought. Everything is. So before we even get to this, I'd like to discuss, why is that ride just really expensive in upkeep or something? And I mean, cause I don't think it would be, because that is a off the shelf. What is it called? The Wild Mouse,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Roller coaster. And so I would imagine those things are pretty easy. Like, it would be easier, I would assume, to get parts and stuff for it. And I don't feel like that was something that was regularly down. So why would you take something like that away? So other attractions have closed. For example, Stitch's Great Escape. but we all had heard the rumors that, like, that thing had already been gutted.
The writing prior. Was on the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was already it had already been turned into a stroller parking area. Again, there had been multiple reports that they'd already been removing audio animatronics and stuff like that before it was officially announced that it was closed. So I get why you would just go ahead and say that's closed. Like, we don't have the option to reopen that. Nor do we want to staff it and all the, like, there's a million reasons why you would say that. I don't know that I get why this closed, because before, like, we're going to get into a discussion about, you know, the future of Dinoland. I don't even know that Dinoland has a future right now where anything different happens, because, like, Epcot's supposed to have a future where a bunch of different stuff happens. Like, there are multiple things that are supposed to be happening that are suddenly being questioned because, you know, the financials are being tanked and everything. And they chose to close this roller coaster.
So my only guess for why it closed is that the thing about Wild Mouse coasters is they don't bank on turns at all. They're, you know, free. They feel like they're freely rotating, and it's uncomfortable. And so I don't know if there was like a liability issue with that or something, where people were getting hurt, people were, you know, complaining about it or what. That's the only thing I can think of, because, yeah, it doesn't seem like it was down a lot. And like you said, that's pretty standard, you know, parts. I have no explanation for why they removed the ride vehicles within like a day. It does not strike me as a liability issue at all to have ride vehicles sitting dormant on a track, unless they needed those parts somewhere else or they had a buyer. I guess if Universal has a Wild Mouse or something that they wanted or needed ride vehicles quickly, that would explain the hastiness in removing the vehicles. But that's the only thing I can think of, because otherwise there's, at this point, like you said, there's no reason to put people on, hey, remove all of these ride vehicles quickly.
Now that is an interesting thought, because you know, as we just said, or you know, money is an issue right now. So if somebody was willing to give you money for those things, then yeah, I mean, you could definitely do something with that. And apparently, real-time update, Fun Spot in Kissimmee also has a Wild Mouse, so maybe we'll see those ride vehicles sooner rather than... I don't know. But, like I said, that just really confused me when I heard decided to close, like, we knew they were going to close it. We'd been hearing about the, you know, what the changes that have been rumored for quite a while. It just seemed like such a weird time to me to close it.
Yeah, for sure. So, and it seemed, the whole thing seemed very sudden. It was like they announced it was closing, and then it was closed very quickly, and then the ride vehicles were gone.
Well, and so I will say, like, it went seasonal back in, like, near the end of last year, right? So seasonal is usually code for is going to be shut down sooner or later. I don't know what it was hurting for it to be sitting there, and to have it, if you decided that you needed to do other things or whatever, like, and maybe it's just that I don't understand amusement park economics, but I don't know what it was hurting for it to just be sitting there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
anyway, but yes, it is closing. I think it's weird. Jeremy, what's happening next? Please let us all know.
Well, I mean, right now, Dinoland consists mainly of a Triceratops Spin and Dinosaur. And that's pretty much it. There's like another, like,
yeah, you got meet and greet. You've got the
there's a T-Rex skeleton there, but I mean,
the
there's
sandbox
just not,
area that you can play in, right?
It's a really large area that just feels underutilized. And I think that they could, I don't know if they want to retheme it from Dinosaurs, but they could do something there. I mean, it's prime real estate too. It's right there. Right when you hit the Tree of Life, turn right. I mean, it is like as close to the entrance as you can get. And I think it's kind of a waste right now. And I don't know what they could do, but I think they should revamp that land somehow. Dinosaur does not get good reviews. You know, I don't think anybody really appreciates Dinosaur, which is fine. If it's not fun, it's not fun, and that's fine. If anything, it's an indoor air conditioned attraction that you can go do that normally has a pretty short wait. But other than that, there's just not that much to go and do, and without Primeval World being there, there's just like it's a really good spot if you're walking into the park, but it's not great for anything else. Like, it's out of the way, it's not on the way to anything, you know. Like, I just feel like if there was some draw to it that would really open up that side of the park, because if you're in Animal Kingdom and you walk into the entrance, hit the Tree of Life, clockwise you have Pandora, Africa, Asia, Dinoland, USA. And I feel like a lot of people's clockwise trip around Animal Kingdom stop at Expedition Everest. And I think they really need, the way that they changed Camp Minnie Mickey to Pandora, they really need something in Dinoland that's going to actually draw people to that, you know, whatever, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock part of the park.
Yeah. So what they have, Restaurantosaurus over there, they have meet and greets with like Donald and Scrooge, I think, maybe over there.
Which Restaurantosaurus is nothing. That could be anything, you know. That's, yes, that's one of those quick service restaurants that could be, you know, I don't know, anything.
Yeah, and so I feel like whatever could potentially come to that area of the park, I don't think they... I was about to say I don't think they would, but I will even change that to I don't think they should remove Dinosaur as the Jeep attraction, right? Because here's the thing about Dinosaur is that is Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And you theme it one way, and most people don't seem to care for it. You theme it another way on the other coast, and everybody raves about it.
And yeah, and Indiana Jones is excellent.
Yeah, I'm not saying that people shouldn't rave about it, but that is the big difference between the two attractions. So,
well, and Dinosaur just seems lame. Like when you get in there, it feels like one of those carnival rides with a bunch of, you know, dinosaurs. The Indiana Jones is very dynamic, and there's a lot of cool scenes. And Dinosaur just doesn't have that dynamism. It just feels like you're kind of on a museum trip through you know, the whatever Cretaceous period. I don't know.
I mean, it's intense, but it's intense because you're like bouncing around and trying to, you know, trying not to get your neck readjusted by the ride vehicle.
Right.
Not so much because of the theming around it. Yeah. And that one was always kind of I feel like Dinosaur was themed the way it was because they said, well, it's going to go into Dino Land. Like, mm-hmm. Dinosaur the movie, there was nothing about that movie that said we should theme an entire attraction around it.
Well, and that's one of those, I think that's one of those attractions that who even recognizes that that's themed after a movie, you know? Like, I know that the titular dinosaur statue is out in front of it and stuff, but I think most people do not remember that movie.
Well, and it's funny to me because if you remember, like, that was Countdown to Extinction before it was Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought it was, I don't know, maybe that was supposed to drive sales of the movie. Maybe it was supposed to, maybe at one time that was a bigger draw to it. So you've got to keep, you have to keep the Jeep attraction. Let's just go ahead and break it down to that.
Sure.
You have to keep the Jeep attraction. I don't know that, I think if the land gets rethemed, I think Triceratops Spin goes away just because I question whether it would be easier to just throw an entirely new attraction there versus trying to retheme that attraction.
Why not make Dinosaur Indiana Jones? And
so that is the rumor.
And change that land into some kind of, I'm going to say adventure land, but I mean like some, like an adventurous land, you know, like, because you have Expedition Everest right there, which is ostensibly about, you know, returning to Everest Base Camp, and you have Kilimanjaro Safari, which is adventurous. You have Flight of Passage. You have tons of rides that I would say are adventurous, and I think Indiana Jones, given a little bit more of a what, I don't know, an organic theme, might be right at home.
So yeah, so that is the rumor, you know, or I guess I feel like that's the one I most frequently see, is Dino Land is going to turn into an Indiana Jones thing. And to a large extent, that makes sense to me, right? Because you already can make Dinosaur Indiana Jones. Like, that's easy to do. And if it's Indiana Jones, I think you still have to retheme Triceratops Spin or get rid of it. But you can easily, you know, make the boneyard, you know, the sandbox there, whatever you want to call that. You can easily retheme that to be Indiana Jones because, you know, that's his deal, man. Retheming restaurants, shops, all of that is doable. I'm trying to figure out.
Did they move the Stunt Spectacular there?
Maybe, but that takes up a lot. Like, that's a big area that you're asking for, and I don't know that it makes sense to have it over there, just because I don't know that you're going to get a good enough payoff in traffic to be worth moving it all the way over. Hmm. So yeah, that's a valid question, but my bigger question is, how does Indiana Jones make sense in the overall theme of Animal Kingdom?
I don't think an Indiana Jones land does. I think you could make an Indiana Jones attraction make sense because, you know, you have Indiana Jones goes on all these adventures looking for stuff. He's an archaeologist, whatever. So you make him be looking for, you know, even dinosaur bones. or something, you know, some sort of, you know, Temple of Doom, he was looking for magic rocks. So have him be looking for something organic, you know, because that's kind of the thing is Expedition Everest is about climbing a mountain. Kilimanjaro Safaris, that's animals, you know, Flight of Passage is animals. These are all, you know, kind of flora fauna type things. So you just have Indiana Jones looking for whatever. You write a story about him looking for this very rare flower, you know, or whatever that the locals say like has magical powers, and they're looking for this flower and they need you to find it, whatever. Like, I don't know, I'm not a writer, but I think you could. Indiana Jones is such a kind of blank canvas. He's an adventurer who looks for stuff. And you can see across the four movies that he really isn't pigeonholed necessarily, you know? And I think you could easily write an Indiana Jones attraction that makes sense in Animal Kingdom. Selling a whole land, I don't know about. But I think if you, you know, made that into some sort of like explorer land or adventurer land or something like that, where you could have Indiana Jones and you could do, I don't know, God forbid, but some non-IP stuff where you had like a dark
yeah,
ride.
No, that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I don't know about making Dino Land USA into a Indiana Jones thing. And honestly, if you made him looking for some dinosaur bones, you could leave it Dino Land USA. And just change that to Indiana Jones and the search for the big T-Rex skull. And boom, you know. Then you've got Indiana Jones and he's looking for dinosaur stuff and it still fits in Dino Land USA. Now, all we need is for Disney to buy Universal. And then you can put a bunch of Jurassic Park stuff in Dino Land USA. And
yeah,
that's where the
dropping
money is, bud.
I love that idea, but they're also dropping a bunch of money on, you know, a new coaster at Universal right now for Jurassic Park, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
Pretty sure. So yeah, they're not going to be letting go of that IP anytime soon. I think if you go to the point where if you get to the point where you are going to be retheming Dino Land, which I agree, I think that's where we're going.
I mean, it's kind of a lame name. I think, but if they could figure out something that wasn't Dino Land USA, like, it would be better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like we are moving. So Hollywood Studios possibly is flirting with having some sort of cohesive theme to it. And I have made the argument and will continue to make the argument that park had the least cohesive theme of any of the parks forever, because it was just a grab bag. And, you know, I would say that Magic Kingdom probably had the most cohesive theme. Epcot had a really cohesive theme as well. And Animal Kingdom had a reasonably cohesive theme. But then you had Camp Minnie Mickey and Dino Land USA. Like, if you chop those two off, the, you know, having the other lands all the other areas based on different continents was very cohesive, yeah, and understandable. And then you had these other two things that were kind of like dangling off of there.
It was so weird. Yeah, like 3 o'clock to, God, I suck at what clocks, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock was, you know, pretty great. And then 3 to 9 was not. It was like two halves of one park.
And felt, so I think felt like, so Camp Minnie Mickey was clearly a, we aren't done here yet. Or, you know, we ran out of money here. Like, I don't remember what the whole story is there. But, like, you get that was a temporary thing. Dino Land USA, not so much. Unless it's we ran out of money, so we needed to cheap out, and we did Dino Land USA. And I'm not even saying that I don't like Dino Land USA. I'm just saying that I don't think that it fits with everything else. But Camp Minnie Mickey eventually got replaced with something that I think, even though it's totally different than, you know, Asia, Africa. Like, it still completely fits in with the, it still gives you that cohesive Animal Kingdom theme, right?
Right.
And so I think that the same thing can be done with Dinoland, and I think that's what needs to be done with Dinoland. And yeah, maybe there's a way to make an Indiana Jones, not maybe. I completely agree with you that Indiana Jones is a blank, is enough of a, what, ethereal idea on some level or something, you know, however you want to say that.
Oh, he totally
where
is.
You can,
he's,
you can
he's
make
just
him
an
fit.
Adventure guy.
Right. So he can adventure wherever you want him to adventure.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to decide where you want him to adventure. And that's like, while I can see the way that you can create an entire land around Indiana Jones, I don't really personally want to see an entire land around Indiana Jones, because that doesn't mesh with what all the other lands are doing.
Yep.
And so, yeah, just put Indiana Jones in a, in an attraction within a larger land, and even
you could even so just as an example, they could put Indiana Jones in Asia and just put the adventure he's on be in Asia, be in Nepal or something, you know, like he'll fit in anywhere. If they wanted to make that, they got Africa, they got Asia. If they wanted to make that, I don't know, Antarctica, and have a bunch of like cold snow stuff, he could be there.
Oh, dude, you've just solved it. You've solved everything. Antarctica. Because you know what else goes in Antarctica? Club Cool. Bring back the old Club Cool with the, you know, with the ice tunnel entrance and everything. We just solved two birds, one stoned the sucker. You're gonna get Club Cool in Animal, and dude, that place is so flipping hot anyway. That would be a perfect place to have Club Cool. I love this. Antarctica. There you go, Disney. Free idea. Use it. Sorry, well, I didn't want to jump all over you there, but I love that idea.
No, I'm happy you got there. I would also love the return of Club Cool.
And in the Boneyard, now suddenly you're just digging through ice to mm-hmm. find all of this stuff.
Yeah, it's snow, bro.
Snow, bro. I love this. But here's the other thing. Don't do it right now. Please, please. Like,
yeah.
You remove the ride vehicles, whatever, you know, life moves on. Just don't try to add anything right now, please, because all of the talk about everything having to be done on the cheap, which I totally get and I don't disagree with that idea. I just don't want to see whatever comes in here having to be done on the cheap. Because then it doesn't get what it needs to be. You know, I want to see the full ice tunnel from Club Cool make a return. I don't want to see the Dinoland USA, you know, the cardboard or not cardboard, but the plywood front to a ice cave. Enter here. And then, you know, there's like a window unit that blows on you as you walk through the cave. Entering the Club Cool area or something.
So also recently at Disney World, there have been some issues with
everything.
It's hard to transition into this because it's just so sad. So we had a boat at Splash Mountain take on water and sink, like just straight up sunk. And
I'm sorry, I feel okay laughing because, as to my knowledge, nobody was harmed in this, right?
No one was hurt.
Okay, good. So I don't have to feel bad about laughing because that is hilarious to me that boats.
It's just like, how does that happen? It's a log, you know, and the like they said. After the final drop, the thing started to take on water. And by the time they got to the riverboat, it was very clearly sinking. And then they got, you know, backed up like you always do right before unload. And that was it. And they had to, like, get out and get away. And I just, like, that's so wild to me that this is, as far as I know, this has never happened before. A boat on Splash Mountain has never sunk.
I mean, I don't want to say never, because then somebody's totally going to at me and say, well, actually. But yeah, it's the first one that I can think of hearing about. And this is happening not that, like, I feel like all of the water attractions need to be checked, because, you know, we had the Jungle Cruise not that long ago in the grand scheme of things having the exact same problem. Yeah. So,
well, and speaking of water rides, I mean, today It's a Small World was running with no music. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with the boat itself, but I can't imagine how unnerving It's a Small World is without music. Anyone who has been in Walt Disney's Tiki Tiki Room knows that when animatronics blink and move, they make a little clicking sound.
Click, 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 click.
And anyone who's ever been on It's a Small World knows how many animatronics are in It's a Small World. And I cannot imagine how loud and weird it was to just be going through It's a Small World hearing. Like, all the blinking, all the dancing, you can hear the motors whirring for the ones that, like, spin around in circles. I don't know why you would run that attraction with no music. The music is the whole thing. But it's just like, I don't know, it seems like not running Walt Disney World for, like, 6 weeks has just totally messed everything up.
Well, okay, so I will say that the music is kind of the least surprising to me, because it just seems so simple that that could go down for a short period of time. On Grand Fiesta Tour, you have Jose Carioca dancing on the floor. I mean, is he trying to do the worm or something? Like, what happened there?
A new kind of face down guitaring.
Yeah, that is much worse to me than just the music cuts off for a little while, because that's a more serious, and I feel like it's going to take longer to get that issue fixed than it is to turn the music back on. And yes, while the Valley of the Dolls becomes unbelievably unnerving, I bet you probably were missing that little, you know, ditty that gets stuck in your head forever. you know, when the alternatives is just the click clacking, but yeah. And then, what, John over at Carousel of Progress doing his best Headbangers Ball impression. There've been a lot of little things that have popped up, and
just wild.
Initially, I was just like, well, maybe we're just paying more attention to it now. But I think your solution is much more likely, which is it was closed for a while, and everything, you know, got booted up after being down for a week or two, and none of this stuff has had that, like, so there have been refurbs and stuff, but in the middle of a refurb, everything is getting checked, all of the changes that you're making, you're doing multiple, I feel like that's a whole different situation from, well, we got to close everything down, and then however many weeks later it actually was, because I know it wasn't that full period, right? They were clearly working on things up to a certain period, and then they came back before it opened to the public. But yeah, it seems like things were a little rough getting back off the ground again.
Yeah, it's like those older animatronics that are still, you know, run by hydraulics. There's so much, because you're basically, you know, working on fluid, and so there just is so much more that can get gummed up and bad when you don't run it. And I doubt that everybody was going through all the attractions and running them for, you know, 30 minutes a day while Disney World was closed. So
it's kind of like when you let your car sit for a week or something, and you're supposed to, like, every so often go start it up and let the motor run for a few minutes.
I tell you what, after working from home for 6 weeks and only driving my car like maybe three times in those 6 weeks, my car makes new noises now.
No, it's making noises it's always made. You're just that much more aware of them. Did it always make that noise? Yeah, it always made that noise. You were just used to it prior to that point. But yeah, I guess gummed up makes it, but that gummed up doesn't make a log sink.
True. Yeah. The log the log sinking is an anomaly, for sure.
And just in a bad time for it to be happening in the midst of all the other stuff. But yeah, it's an interesting time to go to Disney. Hopefully it becomes a better time soon.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.